Well, didn't you just love that worship? It was nice to see Sasha, you know, with us today. You love that accordion. I mean, I was just looking at all this equipment up here. 8 people up here for worship. They're all using their gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Also, there's someone, not really a guest, you know, but Leanna Smith has finally come back home. And so, Leanna, we want to just welcome you today. Yeah, amen. She was taking a sabbatical for a year. She was in Abbotsford, but now she decided it was time for her to return home. So we're glad you did, Leanna. Amen. So everyone else who is welcome, you're welcome here today. And hopefully that you won't rush away after the service like many people do. They just rush out. But here at Beth Shekinah, you don't rush away. You go downstairs, you visit, you have something to eat. You nosh together, enjoy what we call the Oneg Shabbat. So make sure that you come downstairs after and just fellowship together and get to know our congregation, because we are really quite a friendly group of people here, as you'll find out, I hope. So just for your information. Also, this coming week is going to be a bit of a busy week. We have our Wednesday night study, of course, but Thursday night we have the Israel Prayer Watch. And if there's anyone that should be praying for Israel, it's a Messianic congregation. Because that's why we're here, in part, to be praying for Israel, the salvation of Israel. So there's the Israel Prayer Watch was asked by First Century Foundations if we could host a special evening of prayer. They're making a tour across Canada, and Calgary is one place that they're going to be coming to, and really trying to raise more of awareness for prayer. Now, we know that we're speaking to the choir here, because we all know how important it is to pray for Israel. We just finished praying 21 days. You know, believers around the world were praying 21 days for Israel, and then millions of believers, actually. And then on Shavuot, it's estimated there was 100 million believers that were praying. That's hard to even comprehend. But there's obviously a real prayer movement happening around the world. And so this is a sign that there's revival on the way, because prayer always begins with revival. And so this is part of it. You know, so I really encourage as many as you can to come out on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. and be involved in this prayer movement. I know that in citywide prayer, we usually have just a small number of people, but really surprise me this week, this month, and come out and really show your support and invite a friend to come. There's enough of these posters that are in the back there, so pick one of these up, and we would invite you to come and be part of that special prayer gathering on Thursday evening. And then on Friday, we have our Erev Shabbat dinner. And so it's a bit of a busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, our service. But Friday night, every second month, we have an Erev Shabbat dinner. And so everyone's invited to come and bring something, hot dish, salad, or dessert. We'll just have a nice fellowship time together as a congregation. So that's happening next Friday evening as well. And I think that's pretty much it for the announcements. You know, Shekinah seniors, that's coming up on June the 27th. They're going to be meeting at the Sandy Beach Park. And so maybe Jan could maybe come up next week and talk about that to try to encourage you all to come. Okay, well, that's it for the announcements, I believe. Well, this morning I was going to speak on this week's Torah portion from Numbers 11. But I'm going to go in a different direction today. But I really felt I needed to share something about this Torah portion as a good reminder to us. And, you know, my message was going to be stop complaining. And, of course, no one complains, right? None of us ever complain. But, you know, this was one of Israel's great sins. Grumbling, complaining, fear, unbelief, constantly rebelling against authority. Next week is going to be a really heavy Torah portion, because that's when God brought them out of Egypt, you know, and only 11-day journey to the Promised Land. God brought them right to the very, you know, borders of the Promised Land, and all they had to do was enter in. But because of fear and unbelief, they refused. And so they ended up wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And then Moses also had to deal with rebelling against his authority, with his own brother and sister. And then he had to deal with the unbelief of the whole congregation. They wanted to stone him. Moses really, really had to go through a lot. I mean, he was 80 years old. Actually, 80 years old or plus when he had to take his people in. So that's a lot of a burden for an older man. But God gave him strength. But in any case, how important is it for us to be thankful? Very, very important. Because the scriptures say, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for us, the Messiah, Yeshua. And so, you know, this type of attitude grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit when we grumble, when we complain, and when we murmur. And what were they complaining about? Their food. They want a different variety of food. I mean, nothing is different today. People still complain about food after all these years. And they said, we remember when we were in Egypt and ate cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic to the full, but we never see anything but this manna. We can't stand it anymore. And so Moses became so discouraged, listening to their constant murmuring, that he complained to God. But his complaint was for a good reason. He had every reason to come before God because he says, why have you brought all this trouble on me? What have I done to displease you? They keep crying, give us meat, give us meat. Where can I give meat to all these people? A million people. Well, I know, 1 to 2 million people. Where can I ever find meat for all these people? And so I cannot carry all this burden myself. The burden is too heavy for me. And I'm sure it was. It was just too heavy for Moses to carry this heavy burden of this whole multitude of people who came out of Egypt and were grumbling and complaining continually. And so the Lord told Moses to bring 70 elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. And I will take of the spirit that is upon you and I'll put the spirit upon them. So they will, and they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. So then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with them at the tent of the tabernacle. And he took the spirit that was on Moses and he put the spirit on 70 elders. And when the spirit came upon them, they prophesied. But they did not prophesy again. So this was a sign that the spirit was upon them when the spirit of prophecy was manifested upon them. But there are two men who were not enlisted among the 70 elders. And they were these two men were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon them and they prophesied in the camp. So they came and they ran to Moses and told him, well, there's these two that have been who have prophesied in the camp. And so Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. You know, 2,000 years later, the Spirit of the Lord did. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on Shavuot, it was poured out on 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and then the multitudes of people were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Multitudes. There was a revival that broke out on the streets of Jerusalem in that first century. And the Holy Spirit was not only being poured out on the first Messianic believers, but they were also being given gifts. I shared this from Ephesians 4 last week. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Messiah distributed it. And this is what he says. When he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and he gave gifts to his people. So the Holy Spirit was poured out and they're filled with power. They also not only received the Holy Spirit, they also received gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Yeshua said in John 16, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, that I leave you. For if I do not leave, the Helper, the Counselor, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he will be with you always. He will teach you, instruct you, and guide you into all truth. He will be with you always until the end of the age. And then I will return and I will gather you to myself. So that in this present age, we're living in the age of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is being poured out in various ways among his people. You know, it's interesting that I was just thinking about this morning in worship, that, you know, when we know that Israel is a nation, what happens in the natural is a picture of what happens in the spiritual as well. And we know that we're living in the time of the restoration of all things. And, you know, that's interesting. If you trace the historical restoration of Israel as a nation, you know, you'll see that there was corresponding parallels of the Holy Spirit being poured out. in 1901, which was the Azusa Street Revival, when there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the whole immersion of the Holy Spirit and the speaking of tongues. That was at the same time when Israel was beginning to, the Theodor Herzl was beginning to make a desire to have a homeland for Israel. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, it was a historical time of the Latter Rain movement when God began to bring healing back into his body. In 1967, when Israel gained possession of Jerusalem, that was the birth of the charismatic movement. You know, that's where the word gifts comes from, the charismatic. And God began to restore gifts back into the body. So there's this corresponding relationship. What happens to Israel in the natural is a corresponding relationship with God that's doing in the spiritual as well. So as we draw closer to the coming of the Messiah, we'll continue to see more and more of God's outpouring being poured out on his people. You know, last week I spoke on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how we have been called to serve. And this is really one of the most important truths of why we were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of serving. And that's so exciting to see how God has given us. Yeshua said, "I did not come to be served. I did not come to be waited upon." That's my own paraphrase. "But to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." You know, we weren't called in the kingdom of God to be waited upon and to be served. We were called to serve and to give our life as a sacrifice, you know, for Adonai, for all that he's done for us. And that's why we have to learn to be thankful because of everything that Adonai has given for us. So every believer has received a gift. I think we have some slides here that we're going to be showing up the next one there. Song. Every believer has received a gift or gifts from God and is responsible to use... Whoops. Okay. The Lord just closed the door. I don't know. What does that mean? We have to be open to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was the wind of the Holy Spirit that just blew in, right? But every believer has received a gift or gifts from God and is responsible to use them for the glory of God. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are special abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to the body of Messiah for the purpose of building up the body. They're divine abilities granted to followers of Yeshua to accomplish what God has called us to do. So every one of us have received a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the whole purpose is to help build up the body of Messiah. And so 2 Peter 1, verse 3, the next scripture says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for this life, for a life of godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness or excellence." We have everything in this life that we need to accomplish God's purpose in our life. And I believe that one of the biggest reasons why the body of Messiah hasn't made a greater impact on our generation today is because of our failure to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the body of Messiah is handicapped because we are not functioning like a body that Adonai designed us for. That's why it's so important. I challenged us last week. It's so important for us to discover what our gifts are. And when you, it's so exciting to see this worship team up here and how 8 of them were exercising their gifts and how it just brought God's presence into the sanctuary. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to use us and our gifting so that we can really build up the body, that we can encourage the body, that we can bring us into God's presence. That's exciting. So this week I want to take some time to explore the gift of the Holy Spirit and how they operate and what is their purpose. And so there are basically 3 chapters in the New Covenant that are dedicated to the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, 14. So there's basically 3 chapters in the New Covenant, but there's actually over 100 references to the gifts of the Spirit found in the New Covenant. The scriptures describe that there are basically 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit. 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit found in the New Covenant. Though there are other scriptures, there are other gifts as well that we can discover in the Bible and the scriptures. But these 21 gifts of the Spirit are divided into 3 groups. The fivefold ministry gifts, the 7 motivational gifts, and the 9 manifestation gifts. So 3 or 5, 7, and 9. So this first one in Ephesians, I believe the fivefold ministry gifts, Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. So God, he gave these equipping ministry gifts for the purpose of building up the body, equipping us, bringing us into maturity, so we'll not be like children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Because we're living in a world today where there's much deception, the enemy's a deceiver. And he's doing everything he can to deceive God's people, and even, you know, he's certainly deceived the world because of all that we're witnessing today. It's just total nonsense of how he has made people look like fools in terms of all the things that he's doing to this whole woke and so forth. But in any case, God has given these gifts to the body of Messiah for the purpose of equipping the saints. And for the most part, but not exclusively, I believe these are gifts given to those who have been called into ministry and have chosen to dedicate their lives in serving Adonai to help build up and equip the body. And I believe that all these five gifts are in operation today. And so, you know, people operate in all these gifts, you know, but there are certain people that God uses specifically, you know, to equip God's people and make it their life ambition, their goal. They dedicate their whole life to fulfilling these five roles of being apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. So that's the five gifts of the Spirit. Then we get into the next one, the seven motivational gifts or ministry gifts. And this is found in Romans 12. There are specific gifts that are given to every member of the body. And I believe every believer receives one of these gifts at the time of salvation. So there's no excuse. Every one of you has a gift that God gave to you at the time of salvation. And so God really wants you to discover what that gift is and begin to walk in the understanding of what that gift is. And so here, if we turn to the next one, this is where they are found in Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, or the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives in generosity, one who leads with diligence, one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. It's interesting how Paul compares the human body to a spiritual body. And just every member of our body has a specific function, our hands, our legs, you know, our eyes, our mouth, every member of our body is important for the function of our body. And when we lose a member of our body, we're handicapped, and we really can see how much difference it makes in our inability to really function in the way that our body was supposed to. And that's all, so, you know, in a spiritual sense as well, that we all are part of a spiritual body. And every one of us have been given gifts. As we begin to give those gifts, Ephesians 4:11-16, let me just share, as part of the fivefold ministry gifts, it says, I don't have it on the slide here. It says, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as each part of us, you know, just every member of our body does its purpose, so also every member of our spiritual body also has a purpose. And as we function together as a body and we fulfill our role in the gift that God's given to us, then we will have a healthy, vibrant body that will be really affecting the kingdom of God and will really be advancing God's kingdom. So I just want to look at the these different motivational gifts. You know, because God's given us passions and desires. And he's put into our heart special burdens that move us to action. And Adonai has given each one of us our own unique temperament, our own unique personality, our character that reflects who we are and how we express ourselves. Some are extroverts, some are introverts. there's all kinds of different personalities that four or five different personalities. And so God uses us, and often God will design that gift He's given to us according to the type of person that we are. So let's look at these seven motivational gifts. First of all, if we turn the next slide there, the gift of prophecy. And that this is the moral conscience of the body. The gift of prophetic insight. They rebuke and make leaders and congregational members uncomfortable because they talk a lot about sin. And they call believers to repent. When they notice sin, they're very, very black and white people. And there's no compromise with sin. And we need people in the prophetic to really be a part of the congregation, because they're the ones that kind of point out and they discern things in the spirit that are not right. And so, and often they'll come to leaders and express their concern, and then leaders take it to prayer and seek the Lord. And so we really need people who have a strong moral conscience, who are not afraid to talk about sin, who are not afraid to expose sin when it needs to be exposed and to deal with it. Then there's the gift of serving, or the hands and the legs of the body. Those who have a heart and desire to serve the needs of the body, they serve in practical ways and do whatever it takes to take for a task to be accomplished. And so we have some really amazing servants in our congregation. Just incredible at how God has blessed us with so many good servants. You know, it was evident at Camp Chestermere, where we all, you know, stepped up and people really served, you know, with their grateful hearts. And so these are people that are really have a heart to serve. And they're ones that are more, you can recognize them a lot more, because they're the ones that are always there to help and be willing to when there's a need, can I come and help in that need? And so we all need to be servants. And doesn't mean that just because there's a gift of servants doesn't mean that we all don't have a responsibility to serve. Then there's a gift of teaching, the eyes, the insight of the body, for edification, equipping the body. And so we know that God uses teachers to help clarify truth. They study the Word of God and they gather information to validate truth, and they're detail-oriented and skilled in speaking. And you know, we have some good teachers in our congregation, we do. And I know that we haven't made the most of all those who have the ability to teach, and I'm hoping that we will begin to provide more of that opportunity, because, you know, we really need people who are teachers, who are able to communicate God's Word in a way that will help people understand how to apply it to their lives. Then we have the gift of giving. The open hands of the body. You know, these are people who are very generous. They love to give. They don't withhold. When they see a need, they're willing to give of their own resources. And they really understand the whole principle of tithing. You know, tithing is part of our stewardship as believers. And so we're all commanded to tithe, because it's an expression of thankfulness for all that God's given us. But there are certain people who have the ability to share the resources, and they give very generously. And we've had some very generous people in our congregation, and we really, really appreciate them. And then we have the gift of exhortation, which are the arms of the body, the ability to encourage others. They're very positive and encouraging. You love to be around people who have this gift, because they're just so positive and so encouraging, and they always have something positive to say, and they stir people to action. And they're often outgoing, they're extroverts, and so we need a lot of encouragement, because there's so much negativity today. We need people who are willing to encourage each other and build each other up, because that's what exhortation is. It's encouraging and building up one another. And then we have the gift of administration, or one who leads, the fingers of the body. Orderly, organized, and efficient person who's able to organize areas of ministry in the body. And so we need people who are, you know, God's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And God wants an orderly congregation functioning, and God places people. You know, Shoshana is our administrator in our office, and she does a great job of helping to keep things organized. And so we need, and we know that there's so many gifts, you know, that are in related to this area of administration. I know that God has blessed others as well. And then there's the gift of mercy, the heart of the body, the ability to demonstrate God's love and compassion. They're very empathetic. They have the ability to minister to the emotional needs of others, they're able to identify with their suffering and their hurt. Sometimes they just know what to say to someone who's really suffering, who just lost a loved one, a husband or wife, and they just seem to know how to reach out to that person and to meet them at their point of need. And so, you know, we have many who have a gift of mercy. And it actually, the gift of mercy is one gifting that is really quite common, because we need to show each other mercy. Amen. Not to judge and criticize, but to show mercy. So we have the conscience of the body, we have the hands and the legs, the eyes, the open hands, the arms of the body, the heart, all working together to strengthen the body and to build it up. And so just look at those ones that we just looked at, and because each one of you in this room has one of these gifts, whether you realize it or not. The gift of prophecy, of serving, teaching, giving, exhortation, ministration, or mercy. And if you're not sure what that gift is, then pray and seek God and ask Him to show you what that gifting is. But there's also other gifts. They're also, you know, given back in ancient Israel. Most notably, the gift of prophecy. That was one of the gifts of prophecy that was quite common. God raised the prophets to give prophetic word, warning, you know, to Israel. Often they would not listen to those warnings. If you read through the book of Kings and, you know, see all in Chronicles, you see a king that would rise up, and he would be a righteous king, and he would want to follow God, and the people would follow. But when there was a king that was unrighteous and ungodly, and he would start setting up false gods, the people would follow. See, leadership, you know, a congregation, a body stands or falls on good leadership. If you have a bad leader, you're going to have an unhealthy congregation. So you need to have leaders who really have a heart for God and who really want to serve God and really want to put God first in their lives. And so we see that in ancient Israel, God gave the Israelites unique abilities to construct the tabernacle and serve in it, including gifts for special skills and artistry, and spiritual gifts of music, worship and praise and poetry. So there are many worshipers. King David was a great worshiper. He was the king of Israel, but yet he was a great worshiper. He wrote many of the psalms that we love to read. And he was a musician, a singer, and he loved to worship God. The one song that we sang at the end, "One thing I've asked the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple." That's one thing that he thought was most important in his life, was to be in God's presence. And so worship is so important. God has gifted many gifted people in our congregation. We have so many gifted musicians in our congregation who love to worship, and we really love. We have four or five teams, and that's exciting to see how so many of our people are involved in using their gift of worship. In this scripture, in Exodus 31, Ezekiel, I think it's Exodus 31. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work all manner of workmanship." So God gave certain craftsmen the ability and the skills to design artistic works. The tabernacle, the temple, was absolutely beautiful. And the way the craftsmanship that they used. But that was God's Spirit that gave them the ability to do what they did and to design the temple and the tabernacle according to His will and His purpose. And then finally we have the nine manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. And the manifestation gifts of the Spirit is when God's Holy Spirit releases His supernatural power through you for the good of His kingdom. And Paul exhorts us to earnestly desire these spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. But this indicates that our desire is a condition in receiving these gifts. So the nine manifestation gifts are gifts that each one of us can desire, and that God can, at some point, give that gift to us when needed. And they're open to all who pray and desire them to operate in their life. You know, it's not uncommon for a believer to operate in any one or more of these gifts at different times as the Spirit directs. And so, you know, God can use each one of us to operate in any one of these nine manifestation gifts. So let's look at them in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. "But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach, the Spirit, for the benefit of all. For to one is given that through the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the one Ruach, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Ruach, one and the same Spirit, activates all these things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. And these gifts are kind of divided into three groupings: the sign, the power, and the vocal gifts. We kind of look at this when we have our foundation class. We have a whole section on spiritual gifts, so I'm just drawing some of the information from our foundation course. But let's look at these nine manifestation gifts. The word of knowledge. The next slide there. Supernatural knowledge and insight the Holy Spirit gives that no one of human understanding can know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives knowledge of something hidden, reveals a secret to a person for edification or to expose sin in the body. So sometimes, you know, God may have given to us a spirit of knowledge. I remember a couple of years ago, you know, there was a lady in our congregation who lost a very special ring that was very important to her. And she lost it somewhere in the congregation and she could not find anywhere. And everyone was around and was looking for it. And so I prayed and asked the Lord where that ring was. And God specifically told me through the word of knowledge that it was under the fridge in the kitchen. On the Onyx side. So I went under and looked at under the fridge, and there it was, that ring. And so God is God can speak to us as He does. I'm sure all of us He does at times. So sometimes we can draw upon the word of knowledge, and then the word of wisdom is a supernatural wisdom given by the Holy Spirit to apply the word of knowledge. And this gift enables the congregation or believer to handle difficult situations. You know, sometimes we all are involved in difficult situations. We need to ask for wisdom. And that's why Yaakov, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously without reproach. We can ask for wisdom. And God will give us wisdom when we're facing a very difficult situation where we don't see a way out. God will impart to us a spirit of wisdom to show us what we need to do. And often that direction comes from His Word. That's why we need to be in the Word, so that God can show us and speak to us in His Word what we need for that particular situation. And we have the discerning of spirits, the ability to identify and discern things in the spirit realm, especially in the area of the demonic. This can be used in discerning words of prophecy, or any area of ministry is needed. And so sometimes when someone gives a prophecy or a word, you know, then we can use discernment. Is that really of the Lord or not? Because sometimes we know there's lots of Yeshua did warn us there'd be false prophets at the end of the age. And so we need to have the discernment to discern whether something is really of God or not. And I know that I've had to deal with some demonic spirits in the past, and God's had given me discernment how to pray and discern what type of a spirit that we're dealing with, so that you can pray and ask God to set this person free from that spiritual stronghold. And we have the gift of faith, the manifestation of divine faith when needed to, so that we can believe and act accordingly. And God may sometimes do something, ask us to do something out of the ordinary, something that seems impossible, the natural. But the scriptures say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That we need to ask in faith and believe that God is able to honor our faith as we stand in faith. It says faith comes by hearing and the hearing word of God. So that's why we need to be much in the Word, because our faith will grow as we become more knowledgeable and more discerning of God's Word, the gift of faith. The gift of healing, something that we all would love to see in our lives. We all have been given authority to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Even in Mark 16, the Great Commission, Yeshua said that in my name will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If they eat anything or drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They'll speak with new tongues and so forth. So God's has given all of us authority to lay hands on the sick and to see them healed. In other words, we went through a season in our congregation where there was a lot of sickness in our congregation. We prayed, we believed, and God did heal many of our people, but some of them, they didn't, you know, God, for whatever reason, chose not to heal them. But there are certain believers who God anoints seem to have more of an anointing to pray for the sick and to see them healed. And so we know that there are certain people that God just seems to use them in a way that where they have greater success in praying for the sick and seeing people being healed. And really, God wants us all to walk in divine health. He wants us to be healthy so that we can really fulfill His purpose in our lives. And then there's the working of miracles, a gift that transcends the natural. And we see many examples of this in the Scripture, of how Yeshua turned the water into wine, how He fed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Our God is a miracle-working God. I remember a number of years ago, I've shared this story before, but it's one that kind of stands out for me. This is when I was still in Edmonton. We were starting Bet Machine in Edmonton. And I was working part-time at Safeway. And Jen came in the middle of the winter, and she came in and she said that, she locked the keys in the car, and she couldn't, get in the keys. She had our 2 kids with her. So she came in the store, so I went out there and I started to really try and see if I could open the car, and it just wouldn't open. It was the kind of car that just would not open. And so I just decided, and there's a lot of people gathered around trying to help, and so I just decided I'm going to leave my hands on that car door. I just command that key, that door would open, and I laid my hands on the car, and the lock just popped right up. And so that was really a miracle that really stood out for me. You know, God just, and I believe that sometimes we have to take God at His word and to use the authority that's given to us. And I believe that God will often perform miracles in our lives. Call to me and I'll answer you and show you great mighty things which you did not know. Then we come to the gift of prophecy. It's a divine ability to foretell the future and discern the signs of the times. We really need this particular gift. You know, we know that there's lots of false prophets out there. Even through the whole pandemic, there was all kinds of people making all kinds of predictions about the pandemic, and a lot of them didn't really come to pass. And so we really need, but that doesn't mean that the gift of prophecy is still not working, because it is. And we need to pray that God will give us the ability to discern things in the Spirit, to discern what's coming at the end of the age. God gave the sons of Issachar discernment to discern the signs of the times. And so God wants us to know, you know, He gave us prophecy in His word. And that's why we've been studying on prophecy so much, because I believe God wants us to be aware and equipped and knowledgeable with the times we're living in, because I believe that we're living in the last days. So God needs to give us discernment. And finally, the two last areas is the different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And this is one of the, when God poured out His Holy Spirit on the day of Shavuot, the 120 were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. But these are tongues of the nations. There are two kinds of tongues. There's tongues of men, and there's tongues of angels. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and many of us have received the gift of tongues, which was my experience when I was a young believer, It's you know, the one purpose of it is to edify the believer. And also, you know, that's kind of the prayer language that God gives us for the purpose of building oneself up. And sometimes when you're trying to pray and you don't know what to pray, you pray in the Spirit, but you also pray with understanding. But there's also the interpretation of tongues, which is a gift of tongues. And we've had this experience a number of times in a congregation. There's certain people who have the gift of tongues, and they give a prophetic word, and either they give the interpretation or someone else gives that interpretation when that particular tongue is being spoken. And so God can use us in any one of these 9 gifts if we're open and we have a desire to use these gifts for His kingdom purposes. Let me just kind of close, you know, with a. There are 7 important truths about spiritual gifts that I just want us to understand. That's I guess it's a blank page, so I just fill in whatever you want to put in there, right? Spiritual gifts will be present until the body Messiah returns. God will continue to use gifts of the Spirit until He returns. And so I believe in this present age, gifts have not been done away with. There are many in the church today who think that gifts were done away with, but gifts have never been done away with. They've always been present in throughout every generation. So, but they will be present until Messiah returns, and there will be no longer a need for spiritual gifts. I'll share that in just a moment. And gifts of the Spirit are not natural talents. They're gifts. You don't earn a gift. You receive a gift by faith. This is what salvation is. We can't earn our salvation. Salvation is a gift. We have to receive that gift. And gifts do not really necessarily indicate our character. Because, you know, we all have character flaws. God may have given us a gift, but God still works in our lives, and He can still exercise a gift, even when we have maybe some character flaws in our lives, because none of us are perfect. The congregation of Corinth was an example of this. We're going to the book of Corinthians, but it starts off by saying they did not lack in any of the gifts of the Spirit. So the congregation of Corinth were very gifted. They operated all the gifts of the Spirit, but they were still walking in the flesh. So they hadn't matured. And so, just so you're aware of that, Samson had the supernatural gift of strength. Yet he had a weakness. His weakness was for women. And he lusted after the flesh. And so what did God do? You know, when he had his eyes taken out, when he was arrested, when he lost his strength, they took out his eyes so that he no longer could lust in the flesh. But God still used him. You know, his greatest accomplishment at the very end, when he came to a sense, is that God used him to, you know, to bring down the whole walls of the Palestinians. So he had some character flaws, but God still used him. And gifts are for everyone. No one is excluded. But manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then finally, number 7, spiritual gifts are limited, because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, for where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. We're still living in an imperfect age. But when we pass from time into eternity, and when we are given our resurrected bodies, we'll no longer need the blessings that come through prophecy, the words of knowledge, all the different gifts of the Spirit, because there'll be no more healing, because we will be perfect. Our resurrected bodies, we'll never need them again. We'll never need to be sick again. We'll have a perfect nature. We'll be complete. We'll mature in every way. And so the gifts were intended to help build up the body, but by the time that we step into God's kingdom, we'll be a bride that's without spot or blemish. And there will no longer be a need for any of these gifts to be operating. Let me just kind of quickly close with one last thought on the fruit of the Spirit. If we turn to Galatians 5, I don't have this on a slide. We know that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So we know that the fruit of the Spirit is related to the character of the believer. And I believe that walking in the fruit of the Spirit is essential to the effective outworking of God's gifts of the Spirit in our life. And I believe that the more that we abide in Yeshua, Yeshua said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So the more we abide in the fullness of the Spirit, the more of his fruit will be manifested in our lives. And so the gifts of the Spirit can only really be exercised effectively as we learn to walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the freedom of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can be understood in two ways. I want to just end with this. The inner fruit. The first three are love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. We know that love is the greatest of all gifts. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, right in the midst of all these gifts, Paul put in a chapter on love. Because love is the greatest of all gifts. So that's where it begins, love, joy, and peace. And these are related to our relationship with God. That we experience his love, his joy, and his peace. Now, out of a relationship of love, joy, and peace, we have the outward fruit, the outworking of those three in our relationship with other people in terms of patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So we're walking in those three, love, joy, and peace, that we'll be patient with each other, we'll be kind, we'll express goodness, we'll be faithful to our commitments, we'll be gentle, and we'll exercise self-control. And so that's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to manifest his fruit in our lives. Amen. So hopefully that you gain some insight from this. And I encourage you to take some time to read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 and do a bit of a study on your own on these gifts to give you a further understanding. And Lord, we pray, God, as we learn how to walk in the Spirit, as we learn how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, that you would manifest your love and your joy and your peace in our lives so we can truly outwork that in our lives and in our service to others. So Lord, that we would learn to be patient and kind and gentle with others. That we use self-control, not be angry. Lord, fill us with your love and your peace and your joy. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people to really understand the gifts that you've given to us so that we can truly fulfill your purpose in your kingdom. We can help build up this body. We can help build up Eshekinah to become truly a house of glory. Thank you for all those in our congregation who are using their gifts for your glory. We just pray you would raise up many others within this congregation. We begin to use our gifts. Father, we begin to walk in those gifts and be able to exercise them in a way that will fulfill them as a believer and will really be a benefit to Eshekinah, this house of glory. And Lord, as we work out our salvation, we pray that we do so, Lord, with fear. And we praise you for your goodness to us. And we just ask, O God, that you guide and direct our steps. In Yeshua's name, amen.